Hadi bakalım.
All right, Joe, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm convinced that our elites are pedophiles who are just murdering people and doing crazy things, right?
Okay.
But there's one thing with the Epstein files that I don't believe, and not for a second, and I think it's absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous. It is ridiculous that the rest of the public is so entrapped by it.
What is that?
Thinking it's real. It is not real to me. It is in no way real to me that you could be Jeffrey Epstein and have the access of Lex Wessner and, you know, all of these rich people, the Rothschilds, and all this money, you know, hundreds of millions, maybe billions of dollars in assets and just cash. And you can't afford one STD test for your Russian hooker prostitute for Bill Gates. Are you like, either you are the cheapest person on the planet and you're like, I could test the Russian prostitute, but I wanted to save the money.
Hey, look,
when you're giving them to Bill freaking Gates, I mean, I'm not born yesterday, Joe. What do you expect me to believe, this slop? There's no chance. Look, I'm not believing. Look,
I think there's a rational side to this. Maybe it was a power play. Right? Maybe he wanted him to get an STD so he could have some control over him. All right? That's option number one. Number two, maybe he didn't like him that much. Number three, maybe Bill's just a dirty little freak. All right? Everything of that?
Welcome to the Human Reaction Podcast. We're talking about the Epstein files. So great to have you here today. We're going to be diving into all the elements, or quite a few of the elements, of what released this week. It has been a crazy week.
It has.
Yeah. Getting a peek into deep espionage.
Absolutely. From a lot of different angles, it feels like the conspiracy theorists have been proven right, or at least their ideas have been proven not as kooky as they've been painted by a lot of people for a very long time.
I think it's interesting because the nation can only come together on one thing, except for Donald Trump. The nation can come together and hate on Jeffrey Epstein because he's not identifiably Republican or Democrat. He kind of transpartisan. Therefore, everyone can hate him.
Sure.
Except for, of course, the people who are caught up in the Epstein file scandal themselves. Everyone can do it. So therefore, the barriers, the partisan barriers are lower. Is that what's happening?
I think so.
You know, like.
Although you did just say that Jeffrey Epstein is trans, so I think maybe the left likes him a little bit more now.
There is some trans stuff in here. Yeah, he definitely talks to a trans doctor about. I don't think I included it in the notes, but yeah, there's definitely one of the ones that's gone around has been this one where he's talking to this doctor who's talking about transitioning 3-year-olds.
Jeez,
insane. Ugh. Insane.
Well, it kind of sucks that we have to cover this stuff because it's so objectionable. It's like it really reveals the moral depravity of the people that rule the globe and makes me wish that we could have some kind of like peaceful revolution where we just said, you know what? Enough with you guys. You've had your shot. You're bad at this and everything, and probably ruled by Satan or worshiping Satan. And we're just not into that. So take a hike.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I personally don't want to fainting couch this because I do think that actually turns off some people who are looking at it objectively.
Sure.
For example, some of this stuff does add to the conspiracy theory about pedophilia amongst the elite. Mm-hmm. It doesn't prove it, but it definitely adds some evidence to that category of some very weird looking emails, right? They're just fucking weird.
Yeah.
Right? The other side of that is that a substantial amount of this is just bros prostituting it out, right? Like just going balls to the wall crazy parties with prostitutes.
Like what happens in Davos.
That's bad. I don't think that's good. Don't do that, kids. But it's also not as bad as pedos, right? I mean, like it's not evil. It's just like things that men have done for literally since the beginning of time.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Wealthy men.
Yeah.
Liking attractive women.
Like at Davos.
Yeah, like at Davos, right? Yeah. And for some reason, that's another good point. The Davos thing, just like mainstream publications, like the prostitutes in Davos speak out this year. It's like,
sex work is
it's work,
feminine liberation.
Right? Okay.
That's the narrative.
That's what, right? We think now. Is it still illegal? I mean,
I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was illegal.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Anyways, my point being, there's a whole range of things. And so we've organized this thing by the conspiracy theory. And then what does this provide in that? And none of this is going to be knock it out of the park, like, you know, lock them up right now. But these are things that you would anticipate a prosecutor in good faith looking at it and then starting interviewing people.
Sure.
What did you mean by this?
Yeah.
You'd see a prosecutor request a warrant to then go look at, you know, someone's property or someone's possessions or additional financial documents to get you a better understanding of what actually happened.
Sure.
After these emails to see if this what appears to be corruption or collusion.
Right. This is not the fire, but it's the smoke.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. And just to line it out for people, so you know what to expect from this show, we're going to talk through the conspiracy theories that may or may not have been given a little bit more credence here. Like, are there secret societies where elites gather to coordinate plans? Are elites paid pedo Satanists? Was Epstein an asset for Mossad? Are the elites dominated by Jewish supremacists? Human cloning, adrenochrome, MK Ultra, trauma and psychological control. And did Epstein, in fact, kill himself, or is he still alive?
He's walking amongst us.
Ooh. Playing Fortnite.
Playing Fortnite.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's get into the first one.
All right. So first up, secret societies, elites gather. Now, we have this interesting email from somebody. We don't know who. Very interesting that they don't tell, but it isn't like there's no indicated crime within this email. But it's a guy. The subject line is Murray.
Murray. Like Bill Murray?
Yeah, I don't know. But he got a note from Bob Peary, who asked me if I thought Murray Gell-Mann would make a good candidate for the Zodiac.
What is the Zodiac?
Not sure. But I have a suspicion about what it is because of how the rest of this matches it up. As you know, so they've talked about the Zodiac before.
Okay.
It's one of the last secrets type societies.
Oh.
The Zodiac is one of the really cool ones.
Why are they being so overt about this? If it was secret, don't you think they'd be a little more like clandestine in their language?
They think Gmail's very secure. Maybe because Sergey Brin has been to the island.
He's in Zodiac too.
Well, this is a New York based one. So no, only New Yorkers are allowed in this one.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Zodiac is one of the really cool ones. There are 12 members at any one time and is still very secret. As he just tells some guy.
He's literally just like, they do really cool stuff. Like what?
This is probably a grown ass man.
But mostly since they're very old, it's just dinners in exotic locations. So it's a dinner club. My God.
Well, it's a secret dinner club. And it is somewhat occultic. We'll dig into it.
Okay.
I can't tell you all the 12 members because I don't know who they all are. Interesting. But I know
Paul Volcker is
Paul
one.
Paul Volcker is one. Now, Volcker is
former Fed chairman.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Important Fed chairman from the 1970s and 80s. Yeah. Some guy named Howdy, whose family owns, I don't know what that is.
Stuyvesant town?
Yeah.
Bob Peary and I think from Brokaw.
Tom Brokaw.
Oh, Tom Brokaw.
Yeah, those two think Tom Brokaw is part of this. Like the news broadcaster.
Bob represents Cancer, the sign, not the month. Okay, so are they all like different zodiac signs?
Yes, each one is a different.
That's why there's only 12 members?
Yes.
So if somebody's got your birth month, then you're out. Sorry.
Well, I don't know if it's by birth month. I don't know if it's definitely by birth month, but it's definitely by, you know, everyone has to have one. And so if Aries dies, a new Aries has to get put in.
This is hilarious. You are a member until your death, but if you get senile, they can put you into, quote, eccentric orbit and not invite you to meetings. That's so sad. Oh, God. Anyway, the only way to get in is if someone dies. There are obviously no minorities or women allowed. What?
No, wait. The big word here. Obviously.
You're just what? Like... Okay. Okay. Whoa. This is a whole new thing here.
How much do you want to bet that this guy emailing him and all the other people in this email would be like, I can't believe about the rise of Nick Fuentes and the radical racist white people in this country. Meanwhile, they belong to a club that allows, obviously, no minorities or women allowed.
It's the He-Man Woman Haters Club and racists.
Minus the blacks.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, let me know what you think. Finally, leaving West Africa tonight. Finally, let me know when you get your postcard. You will hopefully laugh a lot. Miss you. XOXO. Jeffy. I added that last
one. Well, yeah, this is to Jeff.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, this is asking for Jeffrey's services.
I see.
As a connector to recruit for the Zodiac. Now, what is the Zodiac? You can't find a lot of information on it, but I did find this coding astrology website as a blog.
Okay.
That lays out what they think about it. 157-year-old secret society in New York City made up of 12 members who meet every final Saturday of the month, only between the months of November to May.
Yeah. Okay.
And they think somewhere JP Morgan's Madison Avenue Library, like two books lighted records of the Zodiac. We're inside minutes, menus, and 150-year-old, 7-year-old secrets are bound in leather.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
My recent trip to the museum inspired an obsession. I know very Scorpio of me. And I've yet to shake it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Someone by the name of the Gothamist in 2013 was able to get a rare glimpse. And it pretty much lays out a very, cooperative of this email, this secret society that's pretty much, of course, fancy dinners, discuss society secrets in private, 12 elite members, all the things line up pretty well. Yeah. It claims that JP Morgan founded it in the 1990s. However, another guy named Edward Potter, a native New Yorker born in 1823, was the true founding father of the Zodiac in 1868.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
Part of Columbia College. And then it goes into a bunch of people who they think were members of it at different times. And yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But JP Morgan was a part of it. That's a big deal. Okay. So it's, and once again, we know intellectually that, especially in the 18th century, the 17th and 18th centuries, there's secret societies everywhere. They're like groups of guys who get together, be like, secret society, and get together and drink and, you know.
Smoke cigars in a dark room and guffaw about their world domination plans and stuff like that.
Or just like talk shit, probably, you know. Yeah. Like you could see that too, right?
Yeah,
it's
like the boys group chat, but for the 1800s version.
That is a good way to think about it. Yeah, exactly.
You don't sharing racist memes, but just in person.
Yeah.
No girls allowed.
It's obviously.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Plenty of women and minorities in my boys chats.
No, that's not true. Well, minorities. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah.
Here's some of the members. Here's the members lists that they think. Yeah. So JP Morgan there.
I don't recognize any of these names. Yeah, none of these at all ring a bell. I mean, granted, this is like the early 1900s.
So. Yeah. Henry P. Davis.
Oh, Nelson Aldrich. He was part of the founding of the Federal Reserve.
Ooh.
He was a senator who hosted the meeting on Jekyll Island.
Whoa.
Yeah.
There you go.
We found one.
Yeah. I'm sure if you look these up, they are important people in New York City and probably in finance because New York City is one of the centers of the world finance.
Absolutely.
So anyways, there's interesting... So, and it's not saying that... This is a secret society that has become more public, but is still unknown by the general public. Mm-hmm. If you're over here and you're saying, well, hey, there's no way to have a secret society because people would tell. Unless you're like, well, you didn't know about the Zodiac Club as of 10 seconds ago, did you?
I didn't.
So perhaps other ones exist that you don't know about.
Well, right.
Right. And if you're not open to that, if you start with the assumption, and I'm not talking to the audience because I know our audience is smart and they're not locked into the dogma of, well, unless the New York Times told me it's true, you know. If you just start with the assumption that that can't be true, you're liable to be manipulated by secrets that you're not aware of because you're not willing to look at it.
Right.
And why are you unwilling to look at it?
Yeah.
Is this taboo? Because it's weird to think that wealthy individuals would get together and like coordinate.
I think there's a certain comfort in ignorance, right? In kind of just... Like maybe knowing in the back of your head, yeah, like, you know, secret societies exist and, you know, maybe there's some bad people doing some bad things, but I've got my own fair share of things to worry about in my own life. And I just need to focus on those. I just want to, you know, watch the Seahawks win the Super Bowl this weekend and not worry about the fucking Zodiac Club. But, you know, yeah, I think it makes more sense to just be aware of those ideas and open yourself up to the potential consequences.
100%. Yeah. So there's some evidence there that now that if you look it up, that's the only secret society you will find in the Epstein files that I was able to find in this tranche. Hopefully there's more. Doesn't appear to be clear. There'll be more. I'll have more complaining on that in the future. Hmm. But in the meantime, if you search pizza, you're going to find some weird shit.
That's exactly for sure. 911 results.
Yeah.
9/11.
9/11.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Mm-hmm. Think about it.
Think about
it. Open yourself up to the consequences.
I can't do any sounds today.
We're having some technical difficulties. We're running a skeleton ship here right now, guys. Rotting down to the waterline. That is one for the OG Alex Jones heads right there.
All right. So if you were a Pizzagate person, right? If you were like open to the idea that this pizza shop near Washington, D.C. maybe had a lot of pedophilia like associations to it, it's a good week for you, right? If you were one of those people who just dismissed it, bad week for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because read this email.
Okay. This is an email to Jeffrey from Redacted. It says, this is better than a Chinese cookie. See attached. Let's go for pizza and grape soda again. No one else can understand. And then randomly, go no. Okay.
Go no.
Whatever that means.
It just, that line is so, okay, so.
Let's go for pizza and grape soda again. No one else can understand.
Okay, so if you're not familiar with Pizzagate, right? It was this idea. And the best thing to just search Ben Swan, Pizzagate.
Yes.
He actually just put out another thing on it now. He's just like, I told you, motherfucker, you know, like. But back in the day, there was a guy, he was a reporter. He did this show called Reality Check. And Ben Swan, awesome reporter. He would do these things where he was way ahead of the curve on a lot of like new media style reporting, where he would hold very powerful people accountable and very powerful institutions accountable. And it was getting more popular online. And then he put out a Pizzagate thing after Pizzagate happened. So John Podesta's emails come out in this leak and the WikiLeaks. With those emails, there's a lot of these strange sentences just like this, looking just like that. And when you read them, you're like, what the fuck is happening? Because all these adults are talking about cheese pizza way more than I've ever talked about cheese pizza in my life. So what are they doing talking about all this cheese pizza? And I'm like, eh. So now you might be saying, well, maybe they just like cheese pizza. Now, if I give you the information now that Ben Swan presents quite well in his, is that in pedophile rings, they have code words. And there are code words for hot dogs, pizza, cheese pizza, and sodas.
And chicken.
These are public documents from the FBI about what they do when they're trying to research online pedophilia groups. And for some reason, and then it culminates, Pizzagate culminates with like this online, like kind of movement, like, oh my God, the elites are pedophiles, feeding other theories that have already pre-existed this, being correlated sometimes with strong correlation to other accusations from credible actors and not credible actors, into a gentleman showing up at this particular pizza place that does have a logo that looks a lot like the Man Boy Love logo. Look at it. Just look at it. Just be open. Take a look. Just saying, it looks a lot like it. And this guy brings a gun and fires it in the middle of this place and asks to see the kids. Yeah. He gets arrested, end of Pizzagate. Ben Swan is then fired, and then he's blacklisted from media from then on. Still does awesome content. Definitely go check him out.
Yes.
So if you're open to this idea that John Podesta, the guy with the creepy fucking artwork, the guy that has the artwork so creepy you can't find it anymore on the internet, because if you see it, you will want to tear your eyes out of your sockets. It is so bad.
Like objectionable bad.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Not just shitty artwork. Like no. Very graphic and terrible.
Yes. Like it is, every piece of it makes me... I mean, if I ever met that guy, if you ever met that guy, you know, what you would do to that person, I would just fucking, Because just like the fact that he could look at an image like that and just put it on his wall and be like, look how avant-garde I am, you know?
Yeah.
You're a demon, sir. And I, yeah. So anyways, the,
if anybody knows John Podesta, we'd be happy to host him on the show. Might be. Never, I'm not going any further.
Oh man. He'd be a dead man. So,
it's not a threat. It's not a threat.
Yeah, no, no. Just rhetorically. So John Podesta's emails go out. Pizzagate happens. Now this comes out and this is, you know, another one. Really loved it. Pizza party was great. We had a lot of fun. Stayed late. We all slept in yesterday morning. Your night was good. Now this could just be about pizza. Except for the subject says the video I sent you with the little amazing little girl dance. With the amazing little girl dance. Spoof on
chandelier. Okay, yes. The subject is re-spoof on chandelier. The video I sent you with the amazing little girl dance. And then the body is totally loved it. Pizza party was great. We had a lot of fun. Stayed late. We all slept in yesterday morning. Your night was good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what that means.
I don't know, but you're right. It's weird that these like very influential people, right, are talking so much about pizza parties.
Yeah.
And this happens all over the place. Like you see all these compilation clips of like Ellen DeGeneres saying, oh, like remember our pizza parties? Like, oh, like Jennifer Aniston makes the best pizza or whatever. It's like, what? Okay. Maybe it's just as innocent as it seems, but it's a little over the top, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's like they're rubbing it in our face, just a little bit.
It's so, I mean, the Podesta emails are a lot like that first one consistently. And you're just like, when you read them and as soon as you get that idea in your head that what they're talking about is that, it's hard not to see it. And that could be a psychological trick
sure.
of the brain.
Yeah.
It could also be, well, it could just be people really like emailing about pizzas and I never do. I just,
how many emails have you ever sent about pizza?
Not 911. That's for fucking sure.
I'm relieved to hear that actually quite relieved.
So like this change, like kids are hungry, pizza time. Yum. That looks good. The boys are really cute too. I just need blank by 4:10 PM. He needs a quick shower. Then going to doctor for his annual. You got it. And then thanks for taking the boys for pizza. Blank was sad. He had to leave the fun. So it could
just be like about kids, right?
Yeah, right. It could be that. But if you read it otherwise, it could turn around another way, right? It's always hard to say. You know.
Mr. Epstein would like to see the menu from the pizza place. Could someone send it, please?
Yeah, and then there's pizza.
Pizza Amore St. Thomas.
Yeah.
Pizza Amore. What's amore mean?
It's Italian, right?
Mm-hmm. It means love.
Oh. Pizza. Ugh.
Yeah.
StThomas.com. I'm looking it up right now. Oh, yeah, that's a roll. Wait a minute.
No, don't say that. Do not say that. Oh, God. What? I can't.
Mamma mia, this has gotten too spicy. Contact our head chefs, Malo, for any special orders.
Oh, boy.
Oh, shit. We just got trolled by Sam Hyde in real time. That's amazing.
That is insane.
I assume the original business shut down.
Assuming there ever was an original business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's okay. Also true, all right. Interestingly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right.
What's the next
one? Here's another one. Grape soda. Yep. 18 years older.
Oh, wait. We already saw
that. Oh, yeah. Pizza and grape soda. Yeah. Right. This one I just titled as a torture video. Don't worry. It's not an actual torture video.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll read this. Can you click in?
Oh, yeah.
From Jeffrey Epstein to Redacted. Where are you? Are you okay? I loved the torture video. And then the reply is, I am in China. I will be back in the U.S. second week of May.
Yeah. So there's...
Okay, there's just no way to like sell that as anything other than what it is.
Right?
right?
But I'm going to tell you a piece of information, and does it actually make it better or worse?
Okay.
Especially given other conspiracy theories. There's a possibility, a good possibility, if you look at when the date is, this time 2009,
okay,
to when a certain person was leaving China who happens to connect with Schmishmerl.
Oh.
This might be Benjamin Netanyahu.
Right. I actually have heard that.
Yeah. Interesting thing. Possibly. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So maybe he sent like a torture video from like a Palestinian. I don't know what to make of it, but that's not the only time torture is mentioned in the files. It, how many times is torture mentioned in your email, Joe?
I'm fairly certain exactly zero, other than if I was talking about how this new mixer that we got has been torturing me today.
Yeah. Yeah. Torturesome mixer.
Yeah.
But so look at Martin Nowak wrote, our spy is captured after completing her mission. Did you torture her? Is what Jeffrey Epstein responded. And you're like, could be a joke. Do you torture spies? Sure.
But your own spy?
But what's happening here?
He says our spy was captured. You don't torture your own spies.
That's also weird. Yeah. 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 Our spy was captured. Our spy was captured. I don't know. Ugh. All right. So we also got some, I mean, beyond that, like, so you read some of the pizza ones and maybe you were like, that's not real. And part of that is because there's a lot of like selection bias problems. And then there's been a lot of like some fake stories. Like, here's a good one. Like, is this a real story? So you could look at this one. And this is a to a person at JP Morgan about a transfer in a bank account. And if you look at this word here, ball is in here. What's that about? People are like, oh, he named his bank account ball. But the account name is One Clear Lake Center, LLC. Can't talk today. So what does ball mean? Name, Wachovia Bank. Wachovia sounds like a fake country. And hey,
Wachovia is a real bank.
I know. Okay. But it just sounds like a comic book. Like I'm from the country of Wachovia. Anyways. So
it's like Wakanda.
Yeah. Like Wakanda. Yeah. Not a real country. So like things like that, like there's no real evidence that Jesse named his bank account after a all consuming deity of children. So people are kind of seeing the pattern where it's not there. I think with that one, and this is also an interesting one, right?
okay, so there's a lot of redaction here. If you're just listening, the to and from and CCs, and it looks like there's a lot of email addresses here are all blacked out.
Yeah, this is from this is about the subject is supposedly regarding Ghislaine Maxwell's trial date. So it's a longer one, right? And it's about the trial date. Just trying to summarize so we don't have to go through all that stuff. Just so you get a flavor of some of the nuttier conspiracy theories saying, the guy is a real nut. In prior emails, he demanded that you put Maxwell on stand, blah, blah, blah. We don't know who this is. It kind of seems, it's from the U.S. Attorney General's office.
Interesting.
Right.
From Southern District of New York.
And then, so they say, in fairness, I'd also like to know what blank made, and I assume that's the original sender, made of the satanic child murder evidence. Seriously, though, I can't imagine the volume of craziness you guys are getting, and it's horrible online. Very hard to understand what causes people to believe such insane stuff. Really depressing, and particularly for random folks who are targeted by it in unbelievable levels of volume. Yeah, so it's like the elites are like the people in prosecution are like contending with all these people emailing them demands about what they should do on this because they've been so convinced by this. And then additionally that like told they're insane. For reading like that first pizza email I read to you and been like, this seems weird, you know, and then not trusting the FBI to like follow their own guidance on such cryptic emails and then following up with the people involved to make sure that there isn't something going on.
Yeah.
Especially of a guy who was convicted in court of coercing a 14-year-old to give him, you know, massages with happy endings, you know?
Yeah.
Like that then seems like the kind of guy that you would then have extra scrutiny on his pizza related emails.
Yes.
Yeah. But no one trusts that to be actually be happening because they looked at the files and they said, you know, there's no one to prosecute on this. Or maybe they did all that work and they're just not telling us they did that work for no reason.
Well, in any case, I mean, you look at like statements from Kash Patel, for example, where he said there are no Epstein files. And then here we are reading them.
Yeah. Well, I think what he meant is there's no like list where he's like, oh, I blackmailed this person. And oh, I like, you know, like here's the list of child slaves or something like that. You know, like that doesn't exist. But that was never the question. The question was, do your job and investigate the thing.
Right.
Right. And there are things to investigate in here. We haven't got there yet on the things I think are most compelling. But I think the pizza thing is something like convincing in this, and that 911, and some of them read relatively benign, and some of them read like you could be talking about that.
Yeah.
It looks very Podesta like.
Yeah.
And I don't trust that guy. Someone should check that dude's hard drive because I've seen his art and I can't unsee it.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Epstein was working for Mossad. We got this email from Sultan bin Salyum. Yeah, you got it. All right. This is from 2010. This is after he served his time in prison. Dear Jeffrey, I'm attaching some media clipping regarding the Israeli operation Dubai. I will call you around 7 p.m. Eastern that time. What happened doesn't help anyone. So if you look at the media information in here and the corresponding timeline, what it's talking about is that he's getting an email from a guy in Dubai who's like a major figure. And this guy is all over Jeffrey Epstein's email. So you'll find a lot of this Sultan bin whatever.
Sulayem.
There you go.
Sulayem. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Him being a Dubai prominent businessman and chairman of DP World is a substantial global figure. And as they talk about this, they're talking about global politics, particularly Middle Eastern politics. And in this case, it's talking about Mossad was caught murdering somebody in Dubai. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Hamas leader specifically. What this indicates to me is like this guy, he went in order to get like the message across. Think about it for a second. Just if you're not with me, just think about it for a second. You're a major businessman in Dubai. A Hamas leader was just murdered in Dubai. Who do you email?
Probably. Well, I mean, if I had an assumption that it was Mossad, I would probably email Bibi.
Or
the head of Mossad.
Mossad contact, Jeff Epstein.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't.
But you wouldn't say, hey, Mossad contact, I wouldn't like to talk to you about the person you murdered. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what's going to happen. You're going to say, like, this doesn't help anyone. I'm going to send you this attached clipping about this thing that happened. I want you to do your job, which is as connector guy, to connect me to the right person in Mossad. So if he's an asset for them, not an agent, an asset, then wouldn't that be like the guy you would go to? You're a billionaire oil guy from Dubai. You have contacts. So you would think that those contacts would include lots of different people. And the person you chose was Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes.
Maybe that gives us some evidence that he might be a Mossad asset.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a big part of this to also know before we go further, perhaps the CIA knows that Jeffrey Epstein was Mossad. Perhaps Jeffrey Epstein was Mossad, CIA, MI6, whatever. We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
That he was like an asset that kind of sat in the middle of all these things. It was kind of like a fixer for lots of different groups. The drop site news stuff indicates that severely. Ehud Barak, for example, and all that. But we have some other information that isn't in those emails, but definitely corroborates those claims about this. So like we talked about how Jeffrey Epstein was like instrumental in cutting a deal between Mongolia and Israel, right? From the drop site news coverage of it. Well, here's this other interesting one. This is Jeffrey Epstein wrote to Ehud Barak, did boys ask you to help obtain former Mossad agents to do dirty investigations? This is getting a lot of press. And then Ehud Barak says, call me blank in Paris. What is the blank there?
I don't know.
I think he said the N-word. He's like, Paris, right? Like, that's a song by Kanye, right?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a Kanye fan.
YNA in Paris. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
I'll have to take your word for that.
Okay. Well, it's okay. So what's happening here? So Boies is Jeffrey Epstein's lawyer and one of his lawyers. And he also happened to be Harvey Weinstein's lawyer.
Interesting.
So in 2017, around the same time, like 2 days before this, Ronan Farrow publishes Harvey Weinstein's Army of Spies in The New Yorker, detailing how Weinstein hired Black Cube for covert ops against Black Cube's company.
Another
for
rapper?
Covert ops.
Friend of Kanye's? Sorry.
Against his accusers with Boies, who's also Weinstein's lawyer, involvement as Weinstein, including approving of payments to this group. So Harvey Weinstein's getting his Me Too allegation stuff and going to court. He hires, if you look at Black Cube, which you can find their public website, they brag about how they're made up of former Mossad, right? So you got these, in New York City, former Mossad agents intimidating witnesses by this, and that payment approved by the same guy who happens to be Jeffrey Epstein's lawyer.
Mm.
Yeah.
I see what you're drawing here.
Yeah, I don't, and then, you know, follow-up stories after this point explicitly named Ehud Barak as one of those that has introduced Weinstein to Black Cube in 2016. So this is corroborative to that.
Mm-hmm.
What interesting moment, right? He's literally asking. So we already knew that there was a Mossad connection through Ehud Barak, but it, unlike those other emails, where it just seemed like them working out like political deals and things like this. This is him like literally asking about whether or not he connected former Mossad agents to do dirty investigations.
Right.
Also interesting, Boies was Virginia Guff's lawyer in her defamation lawsuit against Ghislaine Maxwell in 2015, and she didn't know that.
Wait, who didn't know that? Ghislaine Maxwell?
Virginia
Giffray?
Yeah.
She didn't know that he was her lawyer?
She didn't know that he was also Jeffrey Epstein's lawyer.
Oh.
At a different time period, right? So this is so back in 2015... She makes him his lawyer. In 2017, he's now representing Jeffrey Epstein.
I see. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. And like buddies with him and all this other stuff. Yeah.
So do you think it's safe to assume that they were buddies before that?
Don't know. Don't have evidence of it. But I mean, have you ever made friends of someone who is representing the legal team of the person trying to? Yeah.
No, I don't think that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But it would make some sense to try to get a legal personnel, you know, fighting you in court that you are friendly with, so you could get them to do or not do certain things potentially to protect you. That does make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Thinking like a spy, Joe. Okay. So,
wish I didn't have to.
The next are elites are dominated by Jewish supremacists. So, my goys, they talk about us a very certain way. And this really stands out. I mean, it's really interesting. And I actually, before I saw this thread, came across some of these myself. So this is another email. It's hard because the words blocked out here. I'm trying right. to remember how I summarized this. So on December 9th, the order goes the opposite direction. I hate it. I don't know what it's structured. So Larry Summers is an email between Jeffrey Epstein and Larry Summers.
And Larry Summers is who?
He's a former Obama White House and Clinton White House's economist and Harvard University person. Okay. Harvard, another key like matrix here for a lot of this stuff.
Mm.
Going all the way back to Iran-Contra and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So he's writing an email about taxes and about the upcoming, this is 2017, so this would be the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. I'm writing another anti-tax bill screed talking about the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. I don't want to use rifle shot benefit for Virgin Isle billionaires, but want examples of this kind. Please give me two. Okay. Let me explain this one first before we go to the next one. So this guy at this time, and I found some of the articles, is writing all these articles about how terrible Trump's tax reform bill in 2017 is. He emails him and says he doesn't want to use rifle shot benefit for Virgin Island billionaires.
Basically, what does that mean?
That is a special tax shelter in the Virgin Islands that billionaires use to protect their money.
It's called the rifle shot benefit?
Yeah, rifle shot benefit.
Okay.
So he's saying, I'm not going to use that because I don't want to draw attention to, obviously, to this thing that the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is not changing, right? Because I couldn't find anything about that being changed, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Jeffrey Epstein comes back and he asks for examples. He comes back and says, I don't know of any. They did a great job of closing most, at least for Goyim.
That's us.
That's us. It's yeah, regular. And then he says, oh, come on. So is he saying, let me think. Do you think he's saying, oh, come on, by the very, you know, Jewish supremacist approach to calling everybody like, oh, good enough for Goyim, right? Or is he saying, oh, come on, that he doesn't have any clues for his tax article? Like, what do you think?
I'm betting it's the, you didn't give me any ideas.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. You were not helpful in this request, yeah. Jeffrey Epstein. So,
okay, so yeah. Is Larry Summers Jewish?
Yes.
Okay. So this is an email between two Jews and one of them calling, saying they did a good job of closing most of the tax loopholes, at least for the Goyim.
Yes.
Just to summarize. Okay.
Let me double check. I'm pretty confident. I always feel weird whenever I Google this, like,
is X name a Jew?
Yeah, that's a weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. I had to do that. Oh, yeah. He served as Harvard University's first Jewish president.
All right.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Boom, baby. All right. So.
Well, they did a good job of closing your tax loopholes, guys. So, sorry.
All right. So, preferably Jews is why I called this one. All right. So, basically what's happening is this lady, Ariane D. Rothschild.
Notable name. Known by many in the conspiracy theory circles.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Prominent European banking family.
We kind of pick up midway through the conversation, but what you can kind of glean from talking about this is that she wants to reorganize some board, an advisory board of some kind. Not sure if it's like for a nonprofit or for a company or what, but it says advisory board. So she's asking him, and to be clear, she's paying him an enormous amount of money. Like millions of dollars for his advice and help in doing this sort of work. And so they're getting people off the board. That's what she writes him. And then he writes this email. Do you want to read it?
Sure. Goals. Number one, you should have money under your sole control. Maybe a loan from the bank to a company that you own or control, if not outright. Number two, resignation letter of B from boards for personal medical reasons or other governance statutes. Number three, shareholder voting in your favor from B, then I, New Guardians. Why are all these emails written so strangely with like equal signs in the place of letters?
I asked Grok about it, and what it is like a plain text to another format translation error.
Okay, so it like loses some resolution.
Yeah, he was using HTML and they moved to the plain text, or vice versa. I'm not sure which.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So continuing on, when I, New Guardians, revoke waiver of inheritance, maybe transfer control to a new trust for daughters. It should be in a limited partnership form. Number three, operations of the bank are done.
Redone. Yeah.
I don't know what that new advisory board, Summers, Ehud, Pritzker,
yeah.
No diplomats, etc. Not African, serious people. What? With a strong finance operations reputation, not charity, preferable some Jews.
And note the list here for the new advisory board, Summers, Ehud. Guess who, which Ehud? Barack, right?
I'm guessing.
And Pritzker, which is another guy. He's the guy from Hyatt. And a super wealthy gazillionaire guy.
Jewish?
I don't remember. Let me double check. I don't want to claim he's Jewish and he's not.
What's his first name?
Tom?
Tom Pritzker.
Hold on. I got it in here, I think.
Ukrainian Jewish immigrants.
Oh, there you go.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So more like, okay. And this is not saying, once again, just disclaimer, is not saying all Jews. Just saying that there's a certain set of people who are super fucking racist at the highest lights of our society.
And they all just happen to be Jews.
Well, and they especially don't like black people, apparently. Right? Like, look at this guy.
I'm
not
noticing
African.
That.
Serious people. Like, what does that mean, dude?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And like, the fact that she didn't go like, oh my God, you know?
Yeah.
That didn't happen. She kept working with him after this. For some time. So like, what?
Yeah.
He names three guys who all happen to be Jewish. And it's interesting the order here. New advisor board, three guys, no diplomats, etc. Not African. Serious people. Strong finance operations. Reputation, not charity. Preferable some Jews. And then he has, then he feels the need after that to say that afterwards. Now, is that him playing to his audience? Yeah. Think about it. You're Jeffrey freaking Epstein. Your whole job is to give people what they want and tell them what they want to hear and make money off them. You would know who the Rothschilds are because you've been working with them for some time, particularly this one.
Centuries.
Yeah, I don't know. And you're like in this, I'm just reacting to what I'm reading here. Yeah. This guy was a fucking racist.
Yeah.
He was a Jewish supremacist.
Yeah.
That's shitty.
Yeah.
We should understand that if Larry Summers agrees with that.
Yeah.
Same thing with Ehud Barak, Pritzker, never stayed at a Hyatt, that sort of question. You know what I mean? Like that's your gift. You're putting me in this circumstance now. I'm just trying to read it and not like pretend like it doesn't say what it obviously says.
Right.
Which is that you think I'm an idiot because I'm not Jewish. And that's shitty. Don't do that. I wouldn't think about that about you, but now kind of like I feel like I'm a little bit, my back's against the wall here a bit.
And that's why we're taking Goy's back.
That's why it's, yeah.
It's our word now.
All right. So that's that. Oh yeah, one other thing. There is other parts in here where he claims that he represents the Rothschilds, right? And this is an important part of it here, because like when you think of Mossad connections, think of Israel connections, you think of British intelligence. As you know, I represent the Rothschilds right there, right? And that connection does make specifically when you get in the payments that you can find with that are in this release. His we know where a lot of the money came from, right? To make up his ending asset valuation at $600 million, right? Obviously you got Lex Wessner, you got these other folks, but the Rothschild connection is probably the linchpin to give us the rest of the amount of money, given that there's there.
Right.
That's there. So this paragraph right here, much of the fee income has already been tracked. Lex Wessner was responsible. The biggest chumps for is Apollo Global Management, Leon Black, 170, Hedge Fund, Glenn Dublin, Dubin. 15 millions.
Yeah.
Approximately 103 million from unknown clients. Now, DOJ released their new stuff. Rothschild, Amal, Ariane was the big sport at the time. She became the CEO in 2023, 2 years after her husband's death. Okay, friendly relationship. So this matches $25 million in fees, ultimately achieved from this. Now, to like put you that into example, in elite billionaire circles, if you paid $25 million in fees to like protect your assets, it would be for like a major international firm with hundreds of employees and lawyers in dozens of countries all there to protect your stuff.
Right.
She gave that to one dude. Why? Great freaking question. And Forbes asked that question very subtly and very like by the numbers. I'd recommend you check out. It's How Jeffrey Epstein Got So Rich. Really interesting. There's another guy in there too. We won't dig into it just for time's sake, but
this is interesting. I just want to interject here on the Rothschild piece, mm-hmm. because like this is a family, as I alluded to earlier, well-known in conspiracy theory circles, private banking family, has been around since the dawn of time, probably reptilian, throwing that in there. No, but just ancient banking family,
yeah.
who's been elite since there was humanity, right? As far as I understand.
You're really overselling this whole
No. Thing. I just want people who aren't familiar to kind of know.
Since like the Middle Ages, they've been a very wealthy banking family out of, go ahead.
Yes, absolutely.
And across Europe too. Also important. France, Britain, and Italy all had Rothschild connections back in the day.
Intermarrying with royal families and like just very well connected and mm-hmm. very well financed. Also a member of the Federal Reserve, right? They're one of the controlling entities of the Federal Reserve. Is that right? I want to make sure that's right.
I don't know that's true. Okay. I think there's some conspiracy theories about various members of the Federal Reserve being Rothschild connected.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. But
not directly.
Banking branches and stuff like that. But I'm not sure. There's not like a guy with the name Rothschild on the original board. I don't think. Don't look for that.
Right. I think that's correct. Okay. Yeah. So nevertheless, this family really, really prioritizes privacy. They make their money in the shadows, right? They're not the figurehead out there on TV. They're not, you know, in government in the same way that, you know, the Clintons and the Bushes are prominent families that have, you know, large public personas. And one thing that I noticed that somebody on X had alleged, they were searching the Epstein files release, this latest one, for references to the Rothschilds. And they did so early on, and they got like 12,000 something hits. And then they went and did it again a handful of hours later, and there were like 11,800.
Yes.
And then they did it a little bit later, and there were like 11,200. Mm-hmm. And so it seemed to be that references to the Rothschilds were being actively scrubbed from the Epstein files releases.
That's why I used this screenshot, because I found this before it got scrubbed, and now you can't find it. This specific one, I represent the Rothschilds.
And I think, actually, like, if you really want to dig into the deep, dark hole of this rabbit hole, the reason why there's so much obfuscation around Jeffrey Epstein could have to do with his connections, apparently his very deep connections, representing the Rothschilds.
Yeah.
And probably, I mean, who knows who else, right? We just don't know. But like, I think that is probably, you know, the client that is most willing and most able to obfuscate its involvement with this guy.
Yeah.
And whatever he was doing for them.
Mm-hmm. And it has the elements of the common ethnicity and being Jewish. There's a, you know, parts of the Rothschild family are Jewish. I don't think the whole family is. Rothschilds were instrumental in the founding of the state of Israel. That's all publicly known. And it's a real like variable for like this guy is doing a lot of deals for Israel with Ehud Barak and others. And then he's taking care of major money movements for these folks. And what I'm saying all this is just to build the picture about the role he played when he was alive. Right? Assuming he's not dead.
Yeah.
Assuming he's dead.
Assuming he is dead.
But maybe right. He isn't. Yeah. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay. So next, in the category of he was a bigot, I want to point out this other guy, which is interesting. You have Jess Staley emails him. And this is not, well, it's a little bit of a personal attack on him, but criticism of this guy. He emails Jeffrey Epstein and he says, "Want you to know why we are not Sao Paulo. Watch the TV ads on the Super Bowl. It's all about hip blacks and hip cars with white women. The group that should be in the streets has been bought off by Jay-Z." Jess Staley, Blue Mountain Capital. So just think like, just at Blue Mountain Capital. This guy is former JP Morgan, Barclays, Blue Mountain Capital. He's a super wealthy finance guy emailing Jeffrey Epstein. And this kind of demonstrates his worldview, right? So when people tell you who they are, you should believe them, right? Tell you that I'm a raging racist bigot who sees the world in these kind of power play sort of things, you should probably believe me, right? And so I now believe this about Mr. Staley. And that the way he sees the world is blacks and those other people are being abused by the system, and they don't because
they don't revolt because they've been bought off.
Yeah. And that's what he's referencing. What he's referencing in Sao Paulo here is what's called the Brazilian Spring, which is the time period from 2014 to 2015. There's lots of protests in Brazil. It started out as a relatively small protest about like fee increases, and it turned into like a general protest on like, hey, you know, we want better conditions and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting because if you were to map Jeffrey Epstein on a map, you would find him kind of all over the place. But he does lean left fundamentally, like he's a social justice type person overall. And a lot of his contacts are. We look across the Bill Clinton administration, all that kind of stuff. Yes, he's friends with Trump at one point, but that's not really relevant to his political philosophy. That's, you know, networking. Mm-hmm. And then if you look at the foreign policy documents he's consuming, it's neoconservative and neoliberal. And I read a ton of them, right? I looked through. Those are actually the most important. I didn't put it in this, but just a sidebar. That was actually the most important stuff to me. I thought it was most interesting. This guy subscribed to a bunch of aggregators that would pull a bunch of news stories and send it to him. And he cared about Middle Eastern politics, European politics, American politics, all related to the state of Israel and Iran. That's the common thread.
Wow.
Yeah. Iran being a big part of that.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, I'm going to sidebar a little bit more. Yeah. So if you want to finish your thought there, you should go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I just think it's interesting that he says they've been bought off by Jay-Z, because for a long time in the conspiracy theory circles, right, Beyonce and Jay-Z are like the king and queen of the Hollywood music industry Illuminati architecture, right? Like they're the top of the pyramid of the control structure that is designed to use media to guide people whichever way they want to go, right? I mean, Jay-Z has been in that conversation for as long as I've known about it. And so I find that really interesting that he just overtly calls it out right here. It's like very validating for that thesis for, I think, a lot of people who have been seeing all of the satanic imagery and all like in all of Beyonce's shows, you know, like she's always wearing some crazy devil costume or horns or whatever, invoking Baphomet or whatever. Like it's very overt in a lot of senses. And I mean, you don't have to look very hard if you have a little bit of context about what you're typically looking for in a pop culture performance. It's all over the place. And I found this very interesting. I saw this earlier this week that since Jay-Z was referenced in the Epstein files, Beyonce on Instagram has lost 10 million followers.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Is this the reference? What's the other reference?
I don't know. Oh, this is the only reference. I mean, this is a pretty damning reference.
Right, right. But I mean, this is this guy's opinion. It doesn't mean it was literally bought off, but it's like, this is the social dynamic as they see it, right? Which is, I mean, think about the social. If I said, hey, we have entertainers specifically organized to keep you complacent so you don't rebel.
Yeah.
You'd be like, that's a crazy conspiracy theorist. Yep. Well, this guy's a crazy conspiracy theorist then.
Yep.
Blue Mountain Capital, JP Morgan guy, you're a crazy conspiracy theorist then. Or
it's maybe real.
You know something I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, let's find out. I got to look for Jay-Z in the files. Let's do it all together, ladies and kids. No, there's no kids watching this. Don't know. Hide your kids, hide your wife. All right. So the bunch of stuff, these are news articles when you see like this sort of kind of model language.
Sure.
Yeah. Jay-Z business model, 2K Sports produced by Jay-Z. That might be some, no. I know it's another advertisement. Yeah. It's funny because we also got all of his junk mail.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
There may be more, and we can move on from this now. I just thought that was a very interesting thing that...
That is crazy.
That it picked out a little bookmark ahead of my brain from the various years of consuming conspiracy theories online.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and Jay-Z, I wasn't aware of anything between Jeffrey Epstein and Jay-Z specifically, but...
There may not be.
And that's also interesting too, because, I mean, part of it is like, if you get caught up in this, John Jones... I don't know if you saw it, but John Jones has this text or this tweet where he's like, uh-oh. And it's because the tweet read, Jeffrey Epstein was a John Jones fan.
Oh, like, no.
And this guy, he had no idea. He never met Jeffrey Epstein, apparently. We don't have any evidence of that. And it was because there's a receipt in his emails about him purchasing one of John Jones' fights off of YouTube.
Right.
So you're like, I would hate for John Jones to pay a penalty for that. He should pay a penalty for... you know, many other things, but not that. All right. So, last one here, I think is interesting, right? Because this is another, like, this is how the elites talk about you when you're not around.
All right. I'll read this.
Barry Zellin.
From Barry Zellin to Jeffrey Epstein, 3rd of February, 2010, leaving for NYC after being in Florida for 2 weeks, thought I might bump into you somehow. It didn't happen. It appears that you and the press are still joined at the hip for the moment. Too bad for you. The plebeians stay entertained. I will tell you this. It is an interesting scene at the Colony on Friday night at Club 10, and the Goyim in general know how to have a good time. Damn right we do. I like to watch, so Palm Beach is fun, but give me the keys any day of the week. The crowd at the Ferrari show at the Breakers was remarkable for its international participants. The women and men were spectacular. So were the cars. That's my report. Work awaits me. Stay sane.
Yeah. So a part of this is like, that I do think is interesting is how he poo-poos off the 2000, because this is 2010. So this is right after probably when he was in prison.
Yeah.
About the his coercing young women into prostitution it's just all goyslop, right? It's all just like the plebs need to be entertained with tabloid nothingness.
Yeah.
When you went through our court process, dude, you were convicted. Yeah. No, not convicted. You took a plea deal.
Right. Well, yeah, the way he says, it appears that you and the press are still joined at the hip for the moment. Too bad for you. The plebeians stay entertained. Like, yeah, that's just saying like, oh, sucks for you, buddy. But, oh, well, like, what about the crimes?
Yeah.
What about right. the crimes?
Yeah.
What do you think about those? Is that not a problem to you?
Yeah. Like,
clearly not.
The guy you're poo-pooing his crimes with, you know, coerced a 14-year-old into sex acts.
Yeah.
You know, like,
Not a good look.
Yeah. Not a good look at
Who
all.
Is Barry Zellin?
Let me see here. Did I have that? No, I don't have that.
Let me look it up.
No, I don't want to say this. Guy before, he is not Jewish, but his wife is Jewish Brazilian, hence the Sao Paulo.
Oh, Jess Staley.
Yeah, Jess Staley. Yeah, so also note that. This is kind of saying the same thing of like this, like we're on the inside group, in part of it being like some ethnic thing, which is weird, right? Like you don't like this idea of an ethnicity kind of playing this inside-outside game with the rest of society. And of course, you know, the Goyim in general, they'll have a good time.
Yeah. Looks like Barry Zellin is a New York-based former financial professional and solar consultant. Hmm. Do you know what I'm searching now?
Yeah, I can just guess.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Yep. We need a buzzer like...
Well, if we had equipment that
worked. Jewish. Okay, so next one. Okay, this one got some coverage. And... you know, if you are particularly wondering about what we're going to say about human cloning, adrenal chrome, NK ultra trauma, psychological control, we do have this one. This is from Gino Yu. And basically what it details out is some interesting research that he is doing. And he might be able to put this as like, yeah, that he's doing research that he wanted to get funded. So I want to share a message with you. I got someone that I'm mentoring based upon the stages model. Let me define this stages model. Well, actually, we'll read it first and then I'll go back and define it because you'll see why it's kind of creepy sounding as you go. Her message popped up as I'm about to write to you to see if you are around or new people here I should meet and I shared with you. The caravan trip has been really wonderful in meeting people that are stage three. These are people who are developing a different perspective of reality and discovering the gifts they have. Also, in rallying others who have the strong interest in this area. Among the new projects emerging include a base to use science-based approach and Eastern practices to help these stage three people out. I understand you are not happy with the results of the Cuba conference that you funded, but I feel that the work is very important toward helping people identify and recognize the gifts they have, which may or may not be accepted or well understood by society today. That is why your support is important to me. And why I am communicating with you my work, and why I'm grateful for the path that your commitment and funds have given me the confidence to undertake. My intention for sending you the mail is to show you that it is relevant work that people are benefiting. People that would not normally otherwise fit in are learning to accept themselves and abilities beyond what society would consider normal or possible. New models are also plausible, such as alternative paradigms. Groups are finding their way. New forms of knowing without knowing one knows. Forms of knowing without knowing how one knows. Mind control.
It seems like he's referring to like remote viewing. It's kind of the impression I'm getting here.
These
extra sensory.
Some of that. Yeah. Abilities. Yeah. 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 Some like telepathy type.
Sure.
Stuff. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So Jeffrey Epstein was involved in funding this research?
Yes, with this guy. Now, with this guy is Gino Yu, is an associate professor at Hong Kong Polytechnic University, where he directs the Digital Entertainment and Game Development Program. His research integrates neuroscience, psychology, Eastern philosophies, phenomenology, and interactive media, like video games, to explore consciousness, personal transformation, and human potential. His five-stage model of development also cut the five-stage process of consciousness or personal development, outlines a progressive evolution of awareness. It begins with basic psychological symbolic awareness and labeling experiences, moves through focused narrowing of beliefs and roles, presence and expanded openness, existential crisis, ego dissolution, breaking from a societal conscious consensus reality with psychological challenges, and culminates, level five, in integration, wonderment, gratitude, innate joy, and the emergence of special abilities, intuitive, mystical, or non-ordinary capacities like heightened perception or psi phenomena.
Psi phenomena.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like like psychological phenomena.
Yeah, like telepathy, like sure. Reading people's minds, or maybe even remote viewing and stuff like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It wasn't clear from my research about exactly where he was leading with that, or what exactly his claim was. And I couldn't find much on the whole Cuba conference that's referenced. But basically, this guy got funds from Jeffrey. He was trying to re-engage him with these things. Part of those being trauma-induced psychological, like people who have trauma when they're young, being able to get over that trauma are more likely to have some kind of special abilities later on in life, is one of the things indicated in one of the emails.
You know what's weird is that's sort of the plot of Stranger Things.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whoa, I didn't think about that.
Huh. What would you call that, David?
Pre-programming?
Perhaps.
Or just people just operating on the same premises, you know? Yeah.
I mean, you know me.
Yeah, I know you. Another one is designer babies. Attached to the doc you requested is the use of fund spreadsheet for the designer baby and human cloning company. Yeah, so he was into human cloning and designer babies as well.
Cloning.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. This is from Brian Bishop to Jeffrey Epstein.
Whoa. Okay. The next paragraph reads, this gets us out of our self-funded, quote, garage biology phase to the first live birth of a human designer baby and possibly a human clone within 5 years. Once we reach the first birth, everything changes and the world will never be the same again, much less the future of the human species. Attached doc shows approximately $1.7 million a year for up to 5 years and $1 million for lab setup. So he's talking about funding a cloning lab.
Mm-hmm.
Next steps. I'm happy to hop on another call, or I could take a trip to meet you in person. And if you have any thoughts about what I might be missing or whether this is a reasonable estimate to get the first live birth, then I would really appreciate any feedback you have. Wow.
Yeah.
Funding a human cloning lab.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So,
do we know if this thing got funded?
Don't know. It doesn't say anywhere in here, and the email is blanked out, so I don't know what the company is, but who this is exactly or what the company is, unfortunately.
Brian. It's from a guy named Brian.
Brian Bishop. And human cloning is not illegal in the United States, so No federal law bans human cloning as of 2026.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Depends on what we're doing with the clones.
Does it?
Yeah, for sure. Right? I mean, you're like doing it to harvest organs and they're alive and sentient. I'd be very opposed to that.
Well, certainly.
Yeah, right. But
under what circumstances would you be okay with it?
Not sure. I don't know what we're doing, to be honest. I don't know enough about cloning or any of the other relevant material. If it's like some couple can't have kids, but like a test tube baby sort of thing would work better, and that's cloning.
Nah, I don't think that counts, though. Because we are doing that like actively. That's,
yeah, but they can't like put it inside the mother, so they don't have a surrogate. Like a less biological surrogate? Would that be innately a problem? I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
What do you think at home about human cloning?
Throw a call.
Yeah, let us know what you think in the comments. All right.
Europe has banned it, though. So this could be interesting evidence of a crime. Many countries, France, Germany, Canada, Australia, China, Russia, and most of Europe have national laws banning reproductive human cloning. Creating a clone child. Weird. That's weird that we're so far behind that. Non-binding United States Declaration on Human Cloning calls on member states to prohibit all forms of human cloning as incompatible with human dignity and life protection. Wow. Am I crazily ignorant about what human cloning is? Everyone's banning it and you don't like it and I don't know what I think about it. So I'm like way behind, I guess.
Well, I mean, maybe we should dig into it.
Yeah.
We'll do it in a future episode.
Yeah, maybe. That's crazy.
What is the state of human cloning?
Okay. So, and the next one is there a major like finding? Not really. Not in the space of like other than that, it's interesting to know that he's interested in it and maybe they're operating in Venezuela, and we just don't even know, right? So, and where it might be illegal. So, this other one is from Barry Joseph to Epstein. Is all you need is a blood transfusion from the pack, and you reverse aging.
From the pack?
From the pack.
What's the pack?
Don't know. But it's being going around the internet as this proves adrenochrome.
Not exactly.
Not approved.
Unfortunately.
No. I mean, could it be that? I mean, that's what it is, right? Adrenochrome is a derivative of human blood, right?
Yes, as I understand it, it is adrenaline saturated blood.
Okay. All right. So
derived from a tortured human being, typically a child.
All right. So if it could be a synthetic version of it, or it could be the thing that everyone thinks it could be, right? Or it could, you remember that, you know, that vampire, like tech bro guy who's like, once
Brian Johnson,
Brian Johnson, very close to Josephson. It could just be like a healthy guy's blood to like put in his arm and live longer. I mean, if you got a $600 million.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you'd buy some dude's blood.
Yeah. But typically you buy a younger person's blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But like, you, in theory, voluntarily given, or you, we don't know.
And I say that without ever having done it, by the way. I just want to be clear about that. I'm not transfusing young people's blood.
One of the things here too is the subject is Dr. Angus, and there's a guy named Dr. David Angus who did a TED Talk, released a book, and did a bunch of the stuff.
That says Agus.
Agus, not Angus. Sorry. Okay. Agus.
Trust me. Yeah. Make sure.
And I did the Dr. David Angus is an oncologist and celebrity advice doctor, and he published a book around the same time and gave a TED Talk on ending aging. And this is a big issue in Silicon Valley. So it isn't that crazy. So people pointed to this as evidence, not quite there. But it definitely got that whole side of the internet lit up. Now, okay. So number six, Epstein didn't kill himself. In fact, he's still alive. So interesting set of evidence here. They all seem small until you see the bigger picture. So the files indicate that he has a username of Little St. Jeff 1 or Littlest Jeff 1.
Yes, but it's Little St. Jeff.
Yeah. It makes sense. And the reason why that makes sense is because he often called Little St. James Little St. Jeff as like his little name for his island.
Little St. James is his island.
Yes. It was his name on YouTube in a purchasing receipt on here, right? So it says like, Little St. James, you've purchased blah, 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 right? The files indicate that at one point he bought some V-Bucks on Fortnite. Little St. James is a username he used. So people were like, huh, that's interesting. He was on Fortnite. He's used Little St. James 1. Let's look it up. So that means he had his email account connect. Well, this is from, we don't know who this is from, right? Yeah. Alert, the $25 charge was for V-Bucks on Fortnite. This looks like it was written by a human.
Yeah.
And 2019, probably not written by an AI, right?
No.
So there's someone watching the account and like trying to reconcile and then emailed him that.
Or he emailed it to someone.
Like
an accountant, a bookkeeper or so. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's tracking $25 expenses when he's getting $26 million from whoever.
There's a stereotypical like reason for that, Joe.
Oh God. I walked right into that, didn't I? God, I just did.
You don't get rich by not caring about spending money. Like, you get rich by not spending money, right? So
how did he get rich even though he was spending money on bullshit fuck all on Fortnite?
Well, $25. Yeah. I mean, but then you freak out about it afterwards and then you know, maybe you don't do it next time. I don't know how it works, but dude, I've had meetings when I was working on politics with like very wealthy people and they were like, let's go for dinner. It's like, oh, that's great. I'm going to go to some nice place and like, let's go to Arby's. You know, like that's how it works. I'm not joking. At least that's true for Montana rich people. So, okay. So the full story is he has that. It gets online. People start making the connection. This connection is that there's someone with a little St. Jeff 1 on Fortnite been playing after he was supposedly dead.
Yes.
So therefore it comes out, he's not on there. We then find other accounts that also are little St. Jeff 1 on other platforms, including Steam, Xbox, all these other things. Now, if you look at his he does have a bunch of stuff on Xbox Live. So in fact, he's banned from Xbox Live after him and Bill Gates have a falling out.
Was that over the antibiotics for the STD?
Yeah, that's apparently that around something like that.
Yeah.
And he leads the foundation and all that kind of stuff. So he was playing Rust yesterday, if true. Right. So obviously this gets everyone in a tizzy. Now the trick is that I pulled the data myself and looked at everything else here. And we also have this denial from Fortnite, from the studios, Epic Games, from there, what they said about it.
So, yeah, I'll read it here. It says, Hey, official Fortnite here. This was a ruse by a Fortnite player. A few days ago, an existing Fortnite account owner changed their username from something totally unrelated to Little Saint Jeff 1, following the revelation of Little Saint Jeff 1 as a name on YouTube. These Fortnite trackers only display your current name, not any prior changes to it. We have no record of the subject's email address referenced in the public document existing in the Epic account system. Since the public document releases, people have created Fortnite accounts with similar looking email addresses and usernames. Now, if you click on this post, because this is a quote tweet of this, and you go down to the comments.
Oh, no, this isn't a quote. This
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the comments on that are highly suspect of this denial.
People are tend to do that, you know, anytime there's a denial. And it could be a non-story. When I pulled the data, I asked Grok. Here, let me pull it up so you guys can see my work here. I don't want you just to trust me. I want you to know that I'm doing the real work over here.
Using an LLM.
Yeah, well, I don't got the time to pull the numbers myself. Let me find it here.
To be fair, I have nothing against using LLMs. I do.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Fuck your clean water.
They don't use that much water, actually. That's a lot of propaganda.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
Most of them are closed systems.
Hell yeah.
All right. So, so if you look here, you can see what you can see across the top here is when we have the data for this user, right? So season one, chapter two, what his score was, his win losses and the dates. So 2024 season, chapter one, season 10, 2023, chapter one, season six, 2023, right? All this existing data is all for when he is supposed to be dead.
Right.
Right.
Because when did he die? 2019?
2019, right. 2023, 2023, 2024. And then Jeffrey Epstein goes to jail 2008 and 2019. There's no data for, so that would be these rows, for anything prior to 2019 or anything in the intervening time. This account only goes to 2023, as far as I could find. So when you look at it in the time horizon, of the data that we currently have, and I couldn't find a fuller list. Everything I could find was only going back to chapter one, season six or season three, right? Which is at latest in September of 2028 or 2023.
That'd be June.
Yeah, right.
June 23.
Yeah, June. Yeah. So like it isn't like, unless I'm missing something here, I don't see how there's a tenable case. Okay, so. Multiple people can have the username Little Saint Jeff 1, right? Now, it'd be a strong case if that account existed and was played on, because Fortnite's been around for a long time, right? If it was played on from 2017 and then stopped suddenly in 2019 for the time period where he's in jail and then picks back up in a year later or 6 months later or whatever after he's supposedly dead, right?
Right.
That makes sense. But that's not the evidence we're looking at.
We're only seeing it start in 23.
Yeah,
right.
Unfortunately.
And do we know if there were any files released prior to that time that would have given the general gaming public knowledge of his YouTube account with the same name?
Not that I'm aware of. It looks like we found out about the YouTube account with these
emails. With these files.
Yeah.
So it's not like someone could have seen a prior release and said, oh, that's funny, I'm going to make that my username and then start playing.
Yeah.
And then start establishing that record that we're now thinking is Jeff Epstein.
Yep.
So there's still a possibility that this was his.
Yes.
And there's another piece of it. It appears some user on X had been tracking this Fortnite tracker live and saw it go private yesterday.
It did.
Once all of this kind of hit the internet and took it by storm.
Mm-hmm. And so, it's been scrubbed from the Wayback Machine and a bunch of other weird stuff. But that could also be just someone be like, it'd be really funny if I made it private now, and then they make it private because they see everyone freaking out about it on the internet.
Yeah.
And scrubbing from the Wayback Machine, that could have multiple explanations.
How do you do that?
Well, I don't know. It isn't necessarily true that the only time something drops off a Wayback Machine is when it's requested by government or something like that, right? I don't know about you guys, but I've had stuff that just isn't in there had it in there before, and I don't know why that is. Hmm. Yeah. It doesn't have permanent memory. Maybe it prioritizes, right, what it wants to keep and doesn't want to keep. Don't know.
Interesting.
But, yeah. So anyways. So,
still plausible,
right?
But certainly not confirmed.
Yeah. We do know that he was a big gamer. After all, in 20, this is so crazy. In 2018, before going to prison, a couple months before going to prison, he gets an email from his assistant saying, Xbox and safe. Why? What's on the Xbox? What happened? What? Like, what? Why are you putting it in a safe?
That's a really good question. Why would you put an Xbox in a safe? Can you keep other random files on your Xbox?
Well, it's got a hard drive on it.
So you can just like load whatever you want onto that hard drive?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Not just game data?
Yeah, just a USB drive and you can drag and drop. It has a whole file manager and all that kind of stuff.
Guys, that's where the files are. That's where the videos are. They're on the Xbox.
Yeah.
We got to get that Xbox.
And I want to make this one point. This is much more serious than everything else I've said so far. So there are these files that are in the Epstein files that have all these different known email addresses, right? And you have these lists like this. And Little Saint Jeff at Yahoo is one of them. So it's definitely something he's used in more than one place.
Yeah.
We don't know what his Xbox Live account was, but it could have been that. And it could have been his Epic Games account. We just don't know. But
Columbia Dental One? The hell is Columbia Dental?
I don't know.
Well, that's a weird rabbit hole.
Mm. See, there's so much research to be done that we still need to do.
I'm asking Grok right now. Refers to Columbia University College of Dental Medicine.
Hmm.
Okay. He donated to the College of Dental Medicine $100,000 between 2011 and 2014 after his conviction. This included at least one confirmed $50,000 gift in 2014 per DOJ released documents and statements from former Dean Ira Lamster. Let's see. Looks like there's a connection to Epstein's last girlfriend, Karina Shuliak. She is a Belarusian dentist. And let's see here. Beneficiary in his will. Set to inherit tens of millions. Apparently he funded her studies there. It began around 2012.
Jeffrey Epstein just putting women through college. What a good guy.
What a philanthropist, you know?
Helping ladies succeed. All right, it's black humor. It's a joke. Sorry. All right, so are you done? All right, so
I'm done.
All right, so there's these lists of emails. We have a list of websites that are controlled by him. JeffreyEpstein.org, Jeffrey Epstein blog, JeffreyEpstein.net, yada, yada. Twitter, we have his Twitter handles. We also have a Twitter user code that you can get by looking at some of the stuff that he got as notifications from Twitter. 00513, whatever. So his Instagram handles, they've censored out his FaceTime signal and Confide. I don't know what that is. But so this is one of many that we have of this sort. Other ones have some different emails in it. So some of them being the same, the JE Vacation being the most consistent at Gmail, but you also have JE Vacation at me, JE Vacation 1 at me. Some of these, as it says here, are created by other people on his behalf to manage businesses and things like that. But you're still left with like, most of the emails that we got are JE Vacations at Gmail. This one right here, right? Mm-hmm. The other ones, we don't have the emails for that. We don't know what's in them, that sort of thing. So there's still a lot of questions there. I'd like to see what the government has to say about which one of these are actually like deleted and closed, because this account up here does suggest that.
Hmm.
So JEiTunes at Gmail is not used by Epstein, but was created exclusively to provide credentials necessary to open iTunes to account for purchase for content from Apple, right? For example. So that's why you would have multiple ads. Some of these, but there's so many different ones. What are the in the other ones? And then additionally to that, why are they some of the emails censored in some of the ones and some of these claims?
Because it's JEE asset at Mossad.gov.
Yeah. Like his other one for the Jeffrey Epstein Foundation, some of these are censored. Why? I'm very curious. PR.com. What is that? Who's this PR agency?
Click it. Wait, go back.
What?
Click it. Stop.
Wait. Mail to, they didn't remove the link.
These guys fucking suck so bad.
What does that even say? I can't read it.
It's move your cursor. RFFREY Epstein.org at gmail.com.
Oh, jeez.
We just found a hidden email address. Breaking
news. This all didn't work this way. This one works this way too.
I'm so glad that these boomers are so bad at their jobs. God, it's so entertaining. I hope Pam Bondi is watching this.
Okay. Okay, so these primary email addresses don't work. Yeah, we should email one of these and be like, ha, it didn't work.
Oh, I'm sure it's been done 1,000 times.
Okay, so one great question for the government is, what are they going to do with these censored ones? Why are they censoring them? Hopefully that is actually reported to Congress. They are behind on when they're supposed to do that. They were already supposed to have reported things like this.
In terms of why they're redacting what they're redacting?
Yes, okay. Yes. All those reports should have already...
Because I thought the redactions were supposed to protect the victims. Like the abused women.
Yeah, the exceptions. What were the exceptions to when they were going to...
National security.
National security reasons.
Why is that... National security or victims?
Well, this one is Jeffrey Epstein at CIA.gov. And this one's Jeffrey Epstein.
Mossad.gov. MI6.gov.
They got to have email addresses too. Okay. All right. So we're losing time. Let's go. All right. So next one. This is one of the things I mentioned earlier about that I found most interesting is he has all these writings and you get these like consolidated email accounts of all these articles, Bloomberg, Foreign Policy, Time. And the theme is what you would think William Kristol and Michael Makowski would be writing about, which is why aren't we going to war with Iran right now? Right. This is very common. This is actually the file that has, if you've seen it, it's not a quote of Jeffrey Epstein. It's not a quote of even the author. The author's quoting someone else of, quote, Goyim were born only to save us. But it's a quote from a rabbi But it's a quote of a rabbi in an article condemning the rabbi of being a religious zealot and a bigot. Israel's Ayatollah after that guy was born. So another like Jeffrey Epstein said, Goyim were born only to serve us. If you read the book, you kind of get the sense that that's what he thought, right? Mm-hmm. He was like, you know, he was kind of a religious ethnic bigot in that sense. But he didn't say that. And already a lot of this kind of neoconservative, neoliberal stuff adjacency was already known from the Drop Site News stuff and the work with Ehud Barak. But we also have some interesting text here from Bannon about John Bolton. So this is from Emily. You can find her over at Drop Site and other places, Breaking Points and stuff like that. She found these ones out of the sites. So we have Jeffrey Epstein on the right and Steve Bannon on the left. So, I'll be Jeffrey Epstein, you be Steve Bannon, okay? So now at the pyramid with the entire government, what are your plans?
Macron government?
Yep. The ministers of the elite. What? So at he apparently...
At the pyramid?
Yeah.
What's the pyramid?
Maybe the Louvre?
The Louvre?
Yeah, maybe. Can you explain to your boys that the linchpin of the Middle East is Qatar? Blockade lifted. They can help on many fronts. Many.
I'm heading to AD tomorrow. What is AD?
I do not know.
Okay.
AD, is that? Oh, no, I don't know. I'm thinking of getting Bolton on board. At least he's an adult.
Hell of a mustache.
So Jeffrey Epstein knew John Bolton? Is that what that suggests?
That seems to be what that suggests. Why is his name redacted? You see on the above the chats, his is redacted, but Bannon's isn't. Are you sure this is Jeffrey Epstein?
Between Bannon and Epstein, Epstein said he's getting John Bolton on board with the idea that Qatar is a linchpin. Why is it that? I don't
know. Anyway, we can keep reading.
Yeah. I don't know.
So right. Steve Bannon replies, Bolton only doing what Sheldon Adelson tells him to do. I got John the job, but he will not cross Sheldon.
I'm aware.
Key is MBZ. Get him, get actionable deal.
And the younger brother, Wed. Everyone reaching out for economic ideas. I guess my press is not into translation in French, Russian, or Arabic. Yeah. So
who's MBZ?
MBZ? Is it the guy from Saudi?
Mohammed bin Salman? Wouldn't that be MBS?
Yeah, MBS. That's his name. I don't know who MBZ is.
Okay.
Well, yeah, but we're just trying to translate this as best we can, guys. Yep. But it's interesting. Okay, facts for you should know now about Steve Bannon. He got John Bolton the job? Or is that just him saying he's, you know, kind of taking credit for something.
Right? I mean, the first you said earlier, if someone tells you who they are, believe them. If he, I mean, maybe he's blustering, but maybe he did.
Well, I'll tell you what. I watched the entire 2-hour thing, listened to it, of Bolton, or not Bolton, Jeffrey Epstein and Bannon. Because they released the footage of the documentary they were going
to
make.
Right. And to be clear, Steve Bannon is like really was very important in the initial, the first Trump administration, right? What was his position?
His he was not chief advisor, chief of staff, not somewhere.
He was very close to President Trump during
his first. He was kind of running the campaign before then. Yeah.
And then, you know, during the whole Russiagate thing, ended up going to jail for a little while. Now he's out. Political commentator.
Yeah. Prominent and still voice. Claims to be America first and all that kind of stuff. You know, guy who's going to restrain the form. And he got John Bolton the job. What?
Yeah.
And then on top of that, they're like, the context here is that they're organizing to try to get Qatar into the conversation about the Middle East, right? In 2018.
Right.
Hell of a December 2018 exchange between Bannon and Epstein. So what happened here? Right. I'm very curious about that. And I want to know what AD is, but it gives you some of the model of how to think of like, this is a relationship. And when you watch the 2-hour thing, Bannon was the whole time just gassing him up, man. Just like, you're so smart. You're just like the smartest person in finance, blah, 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 blah. And then Jeffrey Epstein would give his opinions about like the financial crisis and stuff like that. And it's like PBS level analysis. It's not, there's nothing that profound or deep or anything like that.
Hmm.
Yeah. It was not, it did not make me a fan of Bannon. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Additionally, that some of the emails in the context of those emails, that looks like he was trying to do this thing with Jeffrey Epstein in part to kind of rehabilitate this guy's image.
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, like it's crazy. I'll keep reading. So Tariff Wrestling, Z Kim, Chairman G, Kim Jong-un, Judo.
All roads lead to Beijing.
Or Tel Aviv.
Oh.
What does that mean? I'm back in New York tomorrow afternoon till Sunday morning. You? Yeah. All right, so this is the film one.
Are you ready to make this film? It's going to be very tough.
If it makes me look fat, I'm out.
That won't be your problem.
Then I'm okay.
God.
Right.
Right. 6-part series, 1 hour each, 90-minute cut for theaters.
Ouch.
Either go big or go home.
Ouch, ouch, ouch. Do you want to film Island, film Island Ranch, etc.? He wants to film at his properties.
This is brilliant move.
Thanks. Only the first step. Now you can understand why Trump wakes up in the middle of the night sweating when he hears you and I are friends.
Dangerous.
Right? 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 Like, this guy is a weird relationship.
Gross.
Israel is always having the same answers. Aging, cancer. It's the Jews in the States that produce results.
Whoa.
Inside baseball. I get an Israeli co a day. Arabs company? Invest. Company a day. Arabs invest. Yeah. Crazy, right?
Weird.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to round this bad boy up. So I want to bring it all back. Right. So we've investigated some of the strategy, some of the conspiracy theories, some of the kind of the mainstreams, like he was kind of in with the royal families. He was in with these like power players like Bannon to, you know, Pritzker to the, you know, talking about like all this neocon foreign and neoliberal foreign policy stuff. Right. Power play and all those things. Those are all the things we already knew, but we can kind of get a better texture of it because we're seeing all of his writing, right? We get like quotes from him of sorts. I want to do one more that kind of really shows the international money man and like shadow finance part of it. Because we do have, and this has been very undercovered, and I probably should have put this up front, but this part is, I think, where the most depth actually happens about who Jeffrey Epstein was. So we have this email from Greg Brown. And in this email, he lays out a business opportunity that he wants Jeffrey Epstein to get in with him and help him do. So the reads like this. Understood. Remember that there are already $80 billion in frozen funds assets internationally, of which $32 billion in the U.S., and it is essential that the real number is somewhere
estimated.
Estimated the real number is somewhere between 3 or 4 times this number in sovereign, stolen, or misappropriated assets. So if we can identify, recover 5 to 10% of these monies and receive 5 to 20% as compensation, we are talking about billions of dollars. But the real carrot is if we can become the go-to guys, because they plan to spend at least $100 billion next year to rebuild their country and jumpstart the economy. Also, remember, Libya is a rich country. Talk about Libya. Libya is a rich country, as its population is 2 million less than the city of New York, and it has the ninth largest crude oil and natural gas reserves on the planet, and literacy rate of almost 80%. So, like, and the rest of it gets into like the backing and how the program, the thing worked. But get this, okay. So during the uprising against Gaddafi
In Libya,
billions of Libyan funds were frozen internationally, $80 billion globally, $32 billion in the US, right? That's where those numbers come from. That's how you can actually find what they're talking about. In the email, this guy, Greg Brown, proposes identifying and recovering 5 to 10% of these. Like, recovering, what does that mean? To recover assets that are frozen. He has a process, a way to do that. Well, that's what the end of it is. You have 1,200 attorneys, of which 240 are partners. This law firm. So they want to go with this law firm to go after the money on a contingency basis, that on this basis that they can recover some of that and take some of that as fees. And apparently that's legal to return that money to Libya. So that then they can reinvest it in their economy and assets and all that kind of stuff in the country.
So this guy wants Jeffrey Epstein to use his connections in government to help unfreeze and return these funds. And if they can do so, they take a cut.
Yes. Yes. And then the other part of it, I mean, you know, most of it being international funds, these would be all over the world funds that got locked up in Switzerland or London and all these other places. So you need an international money man to then help you get in the door. So you could be like, well, I mean, Libya, I mean, obviously everything's over now. They have all these problems. We should need to help them out. We need to get these funds out of their process. He's using them like a lobbyist.
Yeah.
Right. To unlock these things. And then the Libyan government, maybe, is going to pay them a finder's fee for making that happen.
That's crazy.
That's the shadow realm that we're talking about here.
That's the real underpinning of who Jeffrey Epstein was, aside from the pedophile woman finder and connector mm-hmm. on the island.
Right. And the other part of that is, we say it's the go-to guys. So they work with what's called the Transitional National Council, which is the group that's now running Syria and after Gaddafi, to become their go-to guys.
Libya.
Yeah. To become their go-to guys, meaning now we'll have these connections with these guys and we can work new business opportunities in Libya.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. So he's acquiring an Israeli company a day, right? He's looking at investing in Libya next, right? He's looking at, you know, finding this money and working with this guy with this law firm to unlock all these funds and then get a finder's fee. These are the sort of things that made this guy who he was and it gave him all of his power. Now, ask yourself that question of like, how did all this happen, right? And if the model was just, you know, pedos and blackmail and all that kind of stuff, you know, we discussed this many times, but in the overall picture of it is probably like he was a party guy who sometimes had those proclivities because he had no boundaries. He would go there. Maybe that's what we're talking about. It doesn't have to be like guy with pyramid head and black robe and red robe and like, you know, what's that movie with?
Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut. It doesn't have to be the Eyes Wide Shut scenario. It can just be international party man who has access to enough people, isn't even that smart, in my opinion. Reading his emails. That guy's worse speller than I am. That's crazy, right?
Honestly, hard to read, like just technically difficult to read some of his emails.
I spent 10 minutes trying to find something that I saw someplace else because I was spelling it right. I couldn't find it in the search engine because he had spelled it wrong, you know, like things like that. And then like his explanation of the financial crisis, it just didn't give me any confidence that this guy wasn't charismatic. Sure. But not like the super smartest guy ever in the world and definitely connected in this like ethnic way to all these people that had like their own club that you're not a part of and they don't care about you and they kind of see you as plebs and fodder and just the people who do the real work, who do the work that they get to then benefit from. And there's many other emails like that to understand who Jeffrey Epstein was, and that was part of it.
You know, that's interesting because I think that idea that the elites aren't in and of themselves the smartest people in the world. They're just people. Some of them, I'm sure, are very intelligent, right? But they're not smarter than you or me or anybody else necessarily, but they got to where they are somehow, maybe by being born into the right family, going to the right school, running in the right social circles, you know, working their way up through government and getting connections. Like, it seems like Jeffrey Epstein, since you note that, and I think that's very true, he's not the smartest guy, just happened to have the right cross section of soft skills, one of which being his lack of morality, and just enough knowledge in finance and these other things that he was able to put all that together in some sort of really effective package that made him just good at this specific thing that all the global elite needed him to do.
Yeah.
And that just made him the go-to guy.
Right. And then he just kept leveraging that to the point where he was hundreds of millionaire and had an island and a jet and all these things.
So kids listening at home, if you're looking to succeed, just become morally objectionable and you will do fine. You don't need to be smart. School who needs school. Just abandon your morals and you're going to do well. Just kidding.
Just kidding. Don't do that. That's a terrible way to live. In fact, you die like Jeffrey Epstein, you know.
Assuming he's dead.
Yeah, assuming he's dead.
Or maybe you'll live forever. I don't actually know, but that sounds like hell, actually.
Yeah, that does. Yeah. May he live forever. Yeah, fuck that guy. Yep. All right, well, thank you so much for watching, guys. It was a great time. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, David.
Enjoyed going through these, and yeah, we'll catch you guys next week.
Peace. Thanks for tuning in to Human Reaction. Please be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you want to become a member and support the show financially, check out humanreactionpod.com.